of your pew Bible. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I've given you these commandments so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my heart, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Interestingly, what I did was I continued from the last few verses of last week and pulled that into this week because, you know, you need a context. If you just pluck things out and read a scripture without a context, you might miss something, because the scriptures that we have are all about context. Jesus tells us parables, but if you read those parables without the context, you'd miss the meaning of them. What Jesus is doing now is telling them about, in this, as he starts, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done to you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. He's telling us that what God's intention for us is, not what, what God's intention for us is that we bear fruit. As I said last week, the Crittendens plow a field. Now, they don't plow a field that they don't already know what they're going to plant. And they plant it so that they'll raise a crop. The story of last week, John 15, 1 through 7, talking about Jesus is the vine and God is the vine grower. We are in the vine. Christ Jesus is the true vine. We're in the vine. We're in the vine to do what? We're in the vine to bear fruit. And not just fruit, but good fruit. I mean, those luscious, juicy grapes that you go to the supermarket and you pull them out of the produce section and they're just so crisp and just delicious. Jesus wants us to bear good fruit. That is the intention. That is the purpose. Now, how do we do that? We don't do that separate and by ourselves. He says, abide in me as I abide in you. As the Father has, and then he continues, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Again, he's saying, as this occurred, do this. As my Father is glorified, in verse 8, as my Father is glorified, it's because we bear fruit. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in what? In my love. So there's a condition. There's really, like, he's preparing and telling us how it is that we're supposed to deliver the fruit, bear the fruit that he purposely wants us to do in our lives. And we do that in how we interact with people. We do it in how we respond to people. Do we show them and demonstrate them love, or do we just respond to them and repay in kind as they've treated us? Boy, what a vicious world that would be. Haven't we seen that in history? I mean, the girls and I were talking about how people respond and how creation is and how, you know, if you look at history, history repeats itself. Why? Because we end up doing it. We're creatures of our nature. But what God is doing, what Christ is telling us in John here, is to be separate, is to be different, is to not be like the world around us, but to be changed, to be transformed. We're in the vine. We want Christ in us. We want the love of God in us. And that love of God is going to make us bear good fruit, not the fruit of greed or envy or avarice or hate or discord. I mean, how bitter a pill is that? If all you do is sow greed and darkness and despair, what do you get? You get that back and you magnify it. But if you, instead of that, I'm not saying be a Pollyanna and everything's lovely and beautiful and yada, 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 because that's not true. There is death. There is darkness and there is despair. But that doesn't have to be the overriding aspect of life. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he's saying, if you keep my commandments, then you'll abide in my love. In other words, it's a condition. In other words, as you keep my commandments, as you do what I've told you to do, you're going to bear the fruit and you're abiding in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And probably the most important verse here is verse 11, because in this it draws in stark contrast the way the world looks at things. It says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. People are all about joyful. We sing songs, we sing hymns. Joyful, joyful, we adore you. Okay, better when music is played. But we're all about joy. We want to have that happiness. You know, when you hold that newborn baby, Mother's Day, when you see that baby the first time, and you see that newborn, and there's just, you're just flush with love. Okay, the husband is, the father is flush with love. The woman is just, oh, let me get through. Yeah, you're pretty well exhausted at that point in time. But there's a joy. Well, what Jesus is talking about is something beyond this, what we call joy. Normally, how we experience or talk about joy, we talk about happiness. Oh, how happy we are. Well, you know what? Four or five glasses of wine and you can be happy. Did that change your life? You can be happy. Five or six Vicodins or whatever, and you're happy. I mean, that's the world's happiness. You're oblivious to everything around you, and you're happy because of that. No, Jesus talks about a joy here that is anything but what we would think of as trivial or without regard to anything. Because what Jesus is saying is in this, in chapter 14, he is telling his disciples exactly what it's going to cost him for your salvation. And it ain't going to be cheap. And the last thing anyone is going to do is laugh when they're up there on that cross. After they've been beaten and whipped and scourged and pierced with nails, stuck on a cross and dropped into the ground. When that cross sinks into the ground, as many movies as have demonstrated that, you think of the agony that's there. What Jesus knows this is in his future. Jesus says, I said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is anything but joy. This is suffering. It's not happiness. It's not happiness. What this joy that Christ has is the knowledge that he has risen to the task that was given to him. that he has successfully accomplished all that God gave him to do. This is a satisfaction with knowing that what was asked of him was within his power and within what he could do, that he could stay the course, that he could successfully complete the path that God had set for him. That's his joy, and he wants you and I to have that same joy. Not that we're going to go to the cross, but we're going to have the same joy after fulfilling the purpose with which God brought us into this world. Make no doubt about it. Make no doubt about it. Moms and dads, we know how things work. Okay, that's life. But God brings us into this world. And he brought Christ into this world. And he brought Christ into this world to go to a cross so that you and I could have a right relationship with God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Why? Because you and I did what we were supposed to do. Oh, hallelujah, Sierra Sydney. Didn't we agree? It's not by us. I mean, these are two young ladies. Do you think they said, we're perfect? We've never sinned. No, they were honest. Okay, David. They were honest. They said, the point I'm making is the joy is not a joy as the world knows, joy as happiness. It's joy as knowing, being satisfied that you have completed the task that was there. It may have been tough. It may have been difficult. You may have cried. There may have been pain associated. But when it's said and done, when it's over, there's a satisfaction of having completed the task that was there. This is the joy that Christ wants us to have. Hallelujah. You know, when he shows up in that upper room and he says, peace. They all thought he was dead. Except for Mary. She knew. But that was after. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Not a partial. This is complete. And when Christ says complete, he means finished. When he's on the cross, it is finished. What does he mean by that? Okay, he's done with his part. Now it's up to you and me. No, it's done. All you and I have to do is accept it and live into it. And then we have to follow his commandments. See, this is the other piece. You know, there's the joy. And I'll tell you, it's not joy as in happiness. It's joy as in satisfaction. Now, I want you to listen to this. This is my commandment. Now, you guys know what a commandment is? It's not a suggestion. This is not something we can negotiate. This is not something that's up for discussion. You know, why? Mother's Day. Why? Because I said so. And not as trite. Think about this. Think about this. If you want satisfaction and happiness, if you want satisfaction of doing the job completely, then you've got to realize that what Jesus tells us to do is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. He's telling us to do this. Oh, and this one's tough. This one's so tough. You guys ready for it? Love one another as I have loved you. Anybody can do that. That's so easy. It's like, it's so easy, it's too easy. Oh, come on, give us a tough one. Come on, Lord. It doesn't say, be perfect. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then he goes on, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He is speaking to his disciples. He's telling them that he's going to lay down his life for them. And that included Judas. Judas wasn't excluded from this. He didn't say, oh, and by the way, Judas, you know, you just go ahead and go do what you're going to do. I know you're going to do it. He says, all of them. You are my friends, and if you, and then he comes into, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And this is the other relationship thing. It's all about relationships, right, Sierra? See in there? It's all about relationships. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants. In the Revised Standard Version, it says servants. But you know what the real Greek word for this is? Slave. Slave. And what is a slave? Completely dependent upon the master. The master has complete control over the slave. You and I surrender ourselves, not just as a paid servant, but as slaves. I do not call you slaves any longer or servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. So we're not slaves or servants. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. The other piece here is when you think you're in control. This one. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. So that you may love one another. And when he does that, he's like closing it again and wrapping it in this commandment. He's wrapping in this, you know, it would be difficult. It would be impossible to do it without him. But Jesus is right there saying, look, just follow me. Do what I've done. Love as I've loved. Give as I've given. Be in relationship with me, and you'll have the same joy. Because you'll have the satisfaction that no matter how difficult it is, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how impossible it might seem, if I love one another as Jesus loved me, if we love one another as Jesus has loved us, then we will have satisfied that commandment. And if we have satisfied his commandment, God will be happy with us. Not happy joy, joy. You know the happy song? But a lifelong and eternally lifelong presence with God, the Holy Spirit. Because we're doing what he wants us to do. That's joy. That's joy upon joy. How do you love one another? What kind of joy do you bring into your life and relationship with your brothers and sisters? Whose servant are you? And who are you following? Shalom, peace.